Introduction. It was March 5th, 2002, the day before my 21st birthday. I had just left the beach and I was driving my convertible down a busy Florida road in front of a minor league ballpark. I had just gotten paid, it was 75 degrees and sunny, and my two best friends were flying in to celebrate my birthday. From the outside looking in, I was living the dream, which made it easy to hide the truth of my financial situation. Right then, my car engine died in the middle of the road. It was so unexpected that I didn't even have time to pull it over to the shoulder. I flipped on the hazard lights, hoping not to get rear-ended as my car rolled to a stop. Panicking, I tried to start the car again and again and again. And after about 8 attempts, I gave up. I had no one to call for help, everyone I knew was at least 1,000 miles away, and my Nokia cell phone's greatest feature was the Snake game, not the Uber app. I looked around and saw a guy directing cars into the ballpark. I walked over to ask if he could help me push the car out of the middle of the road. He said no. That's okay, I thought. With hundreds of cars driving by, I'm sure someone will stop and help. But no one did. Cool. Trying to keep my male ego intact, I played it cool and acted like I had it all under control. Don't mind me, I'll just be over here in the middle of this busy street, awkwardly pushing my car while steering with one arm. Eventually, I managed to get the car to the shoulder and climbed inside. I sat down and had my freakout moment as despair began to creep in. I thought through the events that would likely unfold as I realized that my entire financial life was basically a house of cards on a windy day. The truth of my financial mess had finally become impossible to hide. I'd been on my way to the bank to cash my paycheck so I could pay my rent that was due in about 3 hours. If I was late, the landlord would tack on a $50 fee. But my paycheck was just enough to cover the rent, so there was no way I could come up with the extra $50. I had no savings, only $7 in my checking account, and I'd been living off the $264 of available credit left on my credit card. And now my car's worn-out alternator, a $60 part, was about to kick off a financial catastrophe. It's amazing how fast a great day can go south when you're living paycheck to paycheck. Fighting back tears, I grabbed the steering wheel with the same intensity as the fear gripping my heart and mind. I was clueless about what to do next. As cars continued to drive by, I desperately wanted just a little help, a hug, or someone to tell me it was going to be okay. I felt ashamed, embarrassed, and completely alone. At this point, I wasn't even thinking about how I was going to survive the following weeks or months, or the fact that I was in a very fast downward spiral with my finances. All I could focus on was the current crisis that I found myself in. This wasn't how my life was supposed to turn out. I had grown up wanting to be an accountant. Yes, weirdos like me exist, and I'd worked at a bank, and I thought I knew everything about money. So why was I living paycheck to paycheck, broken down in the middle of the road, racking my brain trying to figure out how to tow and fix my car with only hours left before my rent was due? The truth is, everything I had learned and believed about money came from the wrong sources. And because I hadn't even thought to invite God in, I had this mess to show for it. I thought the answer to my money problems was simply that I needed more money. But I didn't actually need more money, though you could have never convinced me of that then. I needed to learn how to better manage what I had been given. And sitting in that broken down convertible with my head in my hands, I cried out to God through hot tears and I prayed for wisdom. I decided right then and there that whatever it took, I had to end this financial chaos. If God had a different path, I was ready to follow. Our money education has come from the wrong places. I used to assume my financial mess was just my own bad luck. And sure, we all get dealt different hands. Some people have some big obstacles to overcome. But the truth is, I had been dealt a pretty decent middle-class hand, yet I was still a mess. Why was that? I've come to believe that it's because you and I have a lot working against us. As much as I enjoyed learning to write cursive and how the Dewey Decimal System works, I would argue that knowing how to earn, save, and manage money is essential to almost every human, as important as any subject we learned in school. Yet most of us have received little to no financial education. And this lack of education creates a void that will inevitably be filled one way or another. And so our money education has come from all the wrong places. Most of our beliefs about money come from those who have no business teaching us about it. Well-meaning, but broke, friends and family, celebrities, Instagram influencers, and credit card companies, to name a few. Even if they aren't explicitly teaching us about money, their influence has become the de facto financial education that far too many receive. And for those of us who sought out a financial education by reading books, the fact is that bookstores are full of money books pushing the world's flawed approach. Many don't work, and those that do help you to succeed at the wrong thing. It's no wonder we tend to believe that financial success is complicated or that true financial freedom isn't possible. Like me, at the end of my rope in my broken-down convertible, many of us end up with stacks of overdue bills as we count down the days to payday, and an inability to build decent savings, in a week full of Mondays as we drag ourselves to unfulfilling jobs just because we have to pay the bills, and never-ending money fights with our spouses as we just try to survive. And to top it all off, many of us feel guilt and shame for not managing money better, when it might not have been our fault in the first place. The world's way to handling money has failed us. It's time for a new approach. The Simple Formula. It began with John Wesley, a famed English evangelist and theologian. In one of his writings from the 18th century, I found this. "I gain all I can, namely by writing, without hurting either my soul or body. I save all I can, not willingly wasting anything, not a sheet of paper, not a cup of water. Yet by giving all I can, I am effectually secured from laying up treasures upon earth. Yea, and I am secured from either desiring or endeavoring it as long as I give all I can." Over the past 15 years, I've been guided by what the Bible says about money, as well as Wesley's words that have served as the primary inspiration for this four-part formula. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and enjoy it all. As Lynn and I applied this biblically inspired formula to our finances, we began to see miracle after miracle. Our world quickly began changing. We were unified with our finances like we had never been before. I found work that I was called to was fulfilling and actually paid well. For the first time in our adult lives, we weren't stressed about money. Our savings accounts began to fill up and we began investing for the future. We paid off all of our debt by age 31, credit cards, car loans, student loans, and even our house. We found ourselves giving more than we dreamed possible, and it became one of our biggest passions in life. Simply put, we began thriving financially, and it wasn't contingent on our income. Sometimes our income was up, sometimes it was down. Regardless of where life's roller coaster took us, we realized we could thrive. What if the key to a thriving financial life was simpler than you ever thought possible? Tactics, strategies, and principles. This formula isn't the only way to win with money, but it's by far the best approach that I've found in my 15 plus years of study. While I will certainly share some of my favorite tactics and strategies, the bulk of this book consists of timeless principles, principles you can rely on year after year for the rest of your life, regardless of the financial hand you've been dealt. There's one fundamental piece to all this, though. You need all four parts to work together. The power is in their synergy. Just one by itself is considerably weaker than when all four are working together. As you and I do our part, God will show up and do His. And no surprise, His part is the big part. Most of the book is designed to help us get into the position that will allow Him to do what He does best. What this book is not. Just so there isn't any confusion, let's get clear about what this book is not. Number one, it isn't about manipulating God into making you rich. Following Jesus for how He can prosper us is kind of like marrying someone for money. It's a shell of a relationship. Jesus is a true prize, and God loves us too much to let us settle for anything less. And yes, like any good father, God loves to bless His kids, but chasing the provision rather than the provider is a mistake. Jesus is always our greatest gift and treasure, far greater than any financial blessings that may come our way. Number two, it isn't a theological discourse about money. This book isn't a theological dissertation, it's an operating manual. We are going to explore some biblical financial concepts, but I also want to arm you with practical advice and tools that are easy to understand and apply. My goal is to connect the dots between the most important financial concepts and the timeless principles laid out in the Bible and then translate them into a highly actionable plan. Number three, it isn't a guilt and shame party. Plenty of financial books try to use guilt to get us to take action. Not this one. I'm not a trust fund baby who has never known what it's like to experience financial challenges. I've been there. The struggle is real. But the shame I felt about my money situation was only harming me. I didn't need any more added to the pile, so you won't find that in this book. Linda and I will gently stretch your beliefs about money and encourage you to trust in our unfailing God. So consider us good friends helping you become the best version of yourself. Number four, it isn't about not enjoying anything in life. Balance tends to be a struggle for many people when it comes to money. I've seen some people spend every last dime while living for the here and now, and some who fearfully hoard every last dime for the future. It's easy to fall to the extremes and miss the mark. This book is going to address both sides so we can walk in a healthy balance to enjoy the moment, enjoy the future, and enjoy giving in light of our eternal purpose. Number five, it isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. You might be doing well financially, or you might be broke. You might have an income as steady as the sun, or you might have never had a consistent income in your life. You might be recovering from uncontrollable spending, or you might be dealing with a crisis through no fault of your own. Because there is no one-size-fits-all approach to money, I promise you there will be something that does not fit your situation. That's inevitable when we're talking about money. But the principles that we'll discuss are universal. So if a tactic doesn't apply, then just focus on the principle behind it. What this book is. With that out of the way, let's talk about what this book is. A simple framework that will help you live a truly rich life and make a significant eternal impact. And while the principles contained in it will help you have more money, our definition of a rich life is much further reaching. It's a life of significance, of unparalleled peace, where you're enslaved to no one, free to obey however God leads, and able to enjoy the overflow of generosity in your life. If you want to experience a truly rich life, this book will show you how, regardless of your current income level. It will require you to do away with old patterns of thinking and change a few old habits as well. But stick with me and you're going to enjoy the ride. How the book is laid out. Simple Money Rich Life is laid out in four distinctly different parts. And while all four parts are designed to work together, feel free to jump around to your heart's content or just listen from start to finish. Part one, save all you can. This section will give you incredibly practical tips and suggestions to help you reframe how you spend money and free up hundreds of dollars a month. You will be a much smarter spender and will have strategies in place to better manage your money for the rest of your life. We're starting with the save section because it's important to have these foundational concepts down before you start earning more. Part two, earn all you can. Whether you're an employee, freelancer, stay-at-home parent, business owner, or anything else, this section will help you increase your earning potential. And not with get-rich-quick tactics that rarely work and never last. Instead, we'll examine the keys to earning more in the digital era that we find ourselves living in. Part three, give all you can. I designed this section to help you see giving in a whole new light. It starts not with giving more, but with giving differently. It transforms giving from an obligation into the real adventure of a lifetime that God invites us to join Him on. It also provides practical strategies to help you grow in your generosity and make it more fun than you ever thought possible. Part four, enjoy it all. We can save, earn, and give while being miserable, or we can enjoy it all. Linda and I have come to view it all as worship, as the blessing that it is. This section will focus on how we can enjoy each moment of our financial lives, even the difficult ones. The 21-Day Kickstart. At the end of each of the four parts are five challenges to help you apply what you've learned. Then we have one very important challenge at the end to top it all off. Feel free to do one challenge each day or all five in one day. You get to choose your own adventure here. The challenges are designed to extract some of the most important concepts from the book and give you simple action steps to begin implementing them. Simple insight. Visit seedtime.com/bonus to sign up for daily reminders to stay on track with the challenges. You'll probably want to bookmark this page as well because it contains all of the helpful tools and resources shared in this book. Now for the most important part. With most nonfiction books, the massive impact comes not from listening, but from acting on what you've heard. So don't just listen to the book. If you want to see changes, then take action. Sound good? Linda is going to be joining us. I like to tell people that I'm a high-performance money coach married to a high-performance spender. Like most married couples, we're on the same page about some aspects of our financial life, but not all. So my lovely wife, Linda, is going to be chiming in throughout the book like this.
Hello there. Nice to meet you. If you can't already tell from that introduction, I am the fun one. I'm here to make sure this doesn't sound like any other money book you've ever checked out. If you're married, I might just be the voice of reason to your spouse, or maybe to you. Either way, I'll be dropping in to encourage you, share a spouse's and a spender's perspective, and remind us all not to take this stuff too seriously.
We are all on a journey. For more than 15 years, I've been studying every Bible verse about money and seeking out every practical strategy for mastering my money. Thanks to the internet and the mind-blowing grace of God, I've had the privilege of sharing money management techniques and budgeting tips and investing strategies with over 50 million SeaTime readers, podcast listeners, and students. I also have the honor of being a financial coach and a certified educator in personal finance, and I'm proud to call myself a money nerd. And yet, even with all this experience, I still occasionally do dumb things with money. Just like you, I'm on a journey of continually learning and getting better with money, and to better understand what God is saying to us through the Bible. So let's just imagine that you and I are having coffee. I'm not your financial advisor suggesting a change to your retirement plan. I'm not your pastor trying to counsel you. Just consider me a friend sharing the tips, tools, and revelations that God has used to do a complete 180 in our financial lives and the lives of those in the Seed Time community. So let's pray and invite God into this journey, expecting Him to show up. Ready? Let's go.